I thank y'all for showing up because it shows that you already love the Lord, you're serious, and I'm not going to keep this. My husband said to tell a joke, but I am not a joke teller, so that's not happening. But I am going to tell you about myself a little bit because I don't know a lot of you, and a lot of the Joy Life group know way too much about me. But I want to share just a little bit of my story so you can accept my authenticity when I tell you these things, because I've seen God move. And just give me a second. I don't have a PowerPoint. I'm not all that. Even though I am techie, I am not got the PowerPoint thing going on. So I just want to start out by telling you about myself. My name is Jessica Whalen. I live in Tyrone, Georgia with my husband, Bill. And we lead the usher and greeter team here at South Campus. Have been doing that for 5 years? So if you're also looking for a place to serve and meet people, we are taking applications. Advertisement. But yes. Hook up with Pastor Dina for Children's Ministry. So I'm 53. So I have, together we have 6 children and 6 grandchildren. And I grew up in a small rural town in Indiana. Cornfields, barns, cows, chickens, all that. That's me. I'm really a farm girl at heart. Love to put my hands in the dirt, get dirty, and love to take pictures of plants and my grandchildren and my dog. So I lived in Jacksonville, Florida for about 30 years, where I met my first husband. We married, and I had 2 sons with him. And then I married Bill 10 years ago. So we've been together 10 years. So I've been married a lot of my life. So I know a little bit about marriage also, and give and take, even though this is not what the message is about. Okay, so Bill is literally my answered prayer. We met on eHarmony, and because I worked in IT, it was a scary thing to meet people, all computer geeks, and they were all usually married anyway. So I met Bill online, and God orchestrated that all. And he's been very, very faithful to me. So if you need to find a mate, I recommend eHarmony and a lot of prayer. Yes. So we've been at NCC for about 10 years, and I've been walking with Jesus for 25 years. So I grew up, like I said, in Indiana, doing my own thing. I did it my way, the song goes. You know, I just was living a good life in my eyes, my opinion, you know, what I thought was expected of me. And my parents were happy. My husband, I thought, was happy. But then all of a sudden, sin confronted me. And I was devastated. So what happened was my ex-husband was involved with adultery, and the woman he was involved with was trying to call me. And he took the right step as a man and came to me and told me that this was happening. So, you know, I was just like spinning in devastation. But God. You know, I love that phrase in the Bible, but God. So I was a young wife. I had my family, my 2 boys. We looked good from the outside. We had cars. We had a house. We had a mortgage. We had stuff going on, it looked like. But he was obviously very unhappy and was going outside the marriage looking for fulfillment. So I thought it was the end. But then Jesus, I was introduced to Jesus. So my broken heart was healed. I accepted the Lord. I found that I wasn't sinless, even though I hadn't physically committed adultery. However, the Word of God tells us if you look at someone with lust, you've committed adultery. So I was like, okay. So I dealt with my own sin, but I also saw that Jesus came to rescue me, and I love that he came for us. So anyway, I moved on through that, you know, and he repented at the moment, but we stayed together for a long time, and he just kept breaking my heart, committing adultery, using drugs, doing a lot of crazy stuff, leaving us. He ended up leaving us, and it was devastating, but the whole time, Jesus was faithful. Jesus was there. I never got hopeless. I never did. I was disappointed, but I wasn't hopeless, and I was still joyful. I still had peace. It's like, even though he wasn't who I thought he wasn't doing what I expected, God never failed me. He was faithful to provide. I saw miracles. I saw a tax bill come in during this time that was several thousand dollars, and God just orchestrated this amazing thing that we got the cash to pay this tax bill anyway. So, that's where I just began to get really hungry for God, and I started going to, well, first I got baptized in water and with the Holy Spirit. I got baptized by Rodney Howard Brown. I don't know if y'all know who he is, but in the 90s, he was all that. You had the whole laughing thing going on and people falling out. And as soon as I got in the baptismal, I was slain in spirit. So it was awesome. And I thank God I wasn't brought up in the church. I was not brought up in religion. And I met Jesus through the Word. I met him with a face-to-face encounter. And he changed my life. So for 14 marriage, we stayed together. 14 years, we stayed together in our marriage, and it didn't heal. He just kept, deciding that he wasn't going to surrender. And we talked about surrendering. He wouldn't surrender. He wouldn't put away the things that were taking him away from the Lord, which also was taken away from me and our children. So I went to my pastors, and I said, this is going on. And the Lord had given me a word, and he had given me a word out of 1 Corinthians. It says, but if an unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. And they quoted that same scripture to me before I opened my mouth. Because he said, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, but he did not obey the word of God. He would not submit, and I was not going to raise my children in an environment like that. So that's where I am now. Now, 10 years later, I'm married to Bill. We're serving the Lord together. We see all these amazing promises. So I just want to give you a little background. So when you see me and Bill, you don't think, oh, they've been married 30 years and they've never had a problem. And, and Bill's got his own amazing story, delivered from alcohol. And just, we're new creatures, So the greatest miracle of all is that you get born again, that you become a new creation in Christ, and that God heals those parts that you think could never be healed. So that's part of who I am. But the best part is that I'm saved. It's this amazing rescue that God did for me. So tonight we're going to talk about goal setting for 2019. And I know most people have already done this. At the end of the year, we're all hyped up, we're all excited. Hey, it's 2019, woohoo! Making our resolutions and getting all excited. But I just wanted to remind you what the Bible says. And if you have a Bible, you can turn to John 10:10. And it says, The thief comes only in order to steal and to destroy. I came that they might have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Jesus is inviting us to live his promised abundant life. This is why he came. I know a lot of people quote the front part of that scripture, but I want us to make a conscious effort in 2019 to say the second part, that Jesus came that I might have and enjoy my life and have it in abundance, because that's why he really came. He already dealt with the devil, the killer, the stealer. He already dealt with him. So every day we get to choose again, choose a new goal, choose to believe him, choose to trust him, choose to trust that he is that shepherd that goes after the one, that one that's gone astray, that one that I was, that one that you were. And so 2019 resolutions, according to Inc.com, diet, exercise, lose weight, save more, spend less, learn a new skill or hobby, quit smoking, new job, drink less alcohol, spend more time with the family. These are the top 10 of the world. It might be some of y'all's, I'm not judging. you know, we all are a work in progress. So if you're one of those, that's okay. Jesus can work. I want to remind us what Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer that's found in John 17:16. Now, I call this the Lord's Prayer. I don't call the one where he tells us how to pray the Lord's Prayer. But in John 17, there we go. He says, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." And the "they" he's referring to is not just those who were listening to him at the time, not those that were in earshot of him, but it's us. The "they" there is you, is me, that he's referring to, that we are not of this world. So can y'all say, "I'm out of this world"? Woo, yeah, you are. So we've been a set apart, you know, we know the scriptures about sanctified, peculiar people, set aside for a special purpose. We sang the songs, we know that, but do we see that daily? That I have a goal today of being that set apart one, being that one with a charge to preach the gospel, to lay hands on the sick, to see the miracles and signs and wonders daily. You know, that's a goal that I have, is to see the Spirit move daily. So if we're not of this world, should we make our New Year's resolutions like the world? We, his daughters, do we make resolutions when we're caught up in emotion? Do we make resolutions like that? Or do we even make resolutions as God's people? Is that even godly? It's just a question. At the end of the year, we already talked about this, everyone's so excited. Then it's an emotional high. People say, you know, I'm not going to allow myself to make the mistakes I made in 2018. I'm not doing that. Been there, done that. I'm not doing that again. I will not. You know, that's what we say. Even if we don't vocalize it, we say it in our heart. You know, that hurt me. I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to allow that person in my life or that situation to come up again. But really, by this time of year, February 11th, we've already forgotten. We've already moved on. The new problems have come up. We've already forgotten what we said. Even if we didn't say it to God, we said to ourselves or our friend, we've already forgot about it. Our self-will that was so strong on the night of New Year's Eve has gone bye-bye. It's nowhere to be found. Here's another interesting statistic. I found on Forbes.com that only 8% will achieve their New Year's resolutions. 8%. So that means 92 do not. How do we as Christian women go about setting our goals and achieving them? How can we be sure that we'll be in the 8%? What kind of goals do we make as Christian women? I'm asking myself the same questions. This is not just, I'm not pointing a finger. I'm not the one who has achieved, but I'm striving with y'all. This is a sisterhood, and we're in this together, and hopefully we're spurring each other on. You know, that's why we come together, to get excited, to have the Spirit move through worship and his presence, and just get excited again. And we have this free gift every day to get excited again that's found in his presence. So I don't know the answers, but I know the one who does. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33 in the Amplified, "But first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom, his righteousness," which is his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God. And I just want to add that we're not wrong with God. We are right with God. We've already been made right with God. Jesus gave us his righteousness. We don't have to strive for our own. We just take his, which is an awesome gift. And he says, "And then all these things will be given to you after we seek." So I looked up the synonyms for seek, because it's not a word we often use. So we use more word pursue. We know how to pursue whatever, that new purse, that set of shoes, you know, things that are going to pass away, that the moth and the rust that he talks about are going to get. And also the word follow is a synonym for seek. And then the antonyms for seek are ignore and neglect. So if we find ourselves ignoring the most important things that Jesus said, which are the kingdom and the righteousness, will we be given the things? Just a question. I truly believe, and have seen it in my own life, when we seek to do what pleases the Lord, he takes care of the rest of the stuff. Stuff like diet, exercise, weight loss, financial goals, habits. Yes, he will literally align our goals individually and uniquely for what he has for each one of us to do. He's personal. He's in the details. He's not just cookie cutter. We're not just, you know, here's a Kathy, Janet, joy. You know, he doesn't do that. He made each one of you so beautiful, so special. Just, and we'll read more scripture about that, but each one of you are unique and your giftings and the way you talk and the way you sing to him. So T.D. Jakes says, I don't know if you guys remember this, but it's probably 15, 20 years ago, he used to say, you're a designer's originals. You remember that? Yeah, he would say that, and I that was when I first started walking with the Lord. So I thought that was so exciting that, you know, you see the couture line come out and they're all like funky, you know, it's like, who'd wear that? But God, you individually are that unique, beautiful woman that has so many promises in you that he wants to bring out, that he wants to, the goals are in you that he wants to bring out to the world. So let's go back now and read what Jesus says in Matthew 6, 25 through 32, which is the precursor to what we just read about the, but first and most importantly, seek. So first he starts out by saying, therefore I tell you, stop being worried or anxious, perpetually uneasy and distracted about your life. Guilty. Anybody else? We freak out. We freak out over the stuff. We freak out over, you know, where am I going to get the money to do that? And we are up all night, and, you know, God's just saying, don't do that. You know, he's like, he's got it. He chose you. We just have to trust him. He says, don't worry about it, you know. In modern lingo, it's like, forget about it, you know. My husband's from New Jersey, so that's where I get that. He says, as to what you will eat, this is so relevant for 2019. I mean, I can see the men and the women in the crowd. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, men. Ladies, don't worry about what you're going to wear. And if you know my husband, it's like he eats like a baby on a schedule. So he's like, he's regimented. So he says, is life not more than what you will eat or what you will drink or about your body? I mean, ladies, I hear Joyce Meyer say this all the time. She says, make peace with your thighs. Just make peace with your thighs. You are beautiful. You don't have to be like everybody else. You don't. You don't. You need to be healthy. You need to be pursuing a life that is glorifying to God. But some people, it's just, you know, you're born with big thighs or you're whatever. You know, you're just, I mean, I have big calves. So, you know, it's like, just, I'm okay with it. We are his unique designer original. Right? I mean, I know y'all spend money on the Michael Kors and all that. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. So I'm a simple girl. I really am. I just look for a purse that's the right color and grab it. So he goes on. He says, look at the birds of the air. I'm a bird watcher. Anybody else a bird watcher? I've never seen a bird fretting. Have you ever seen a bird fret? It's like, no, they don't fret. They just wait for the feeder to get filled up. But they know, it's like, we're their God, you know. You fill the feeder. But so they know, they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't harvest, they don't gather their crops into barns, and yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Can y'all say, I'm worth more than a bird? You're worth more than a bird. I'm worth more than a bird. He said that. He said, are you not much more than they? This is in red, by the way. This is red letter. Remember Pastor Gilbert had us do a red letter study a few years ago? It was intense. When you read this and you think about those red letters, this is Jesus talking. And who of you by worrying can add 1 hour to the length of his life? And why are you worried about your clothes? See how the lilies and the wildflowers of the field grow? Do they not labor? They do not spin wool to make clothing? Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory or splendor dressed himself like one of these. Now that's extravagant. That's extravagant. He says, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive and green today, and tomorrow is cut down and thrown as fuel into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? Again, that's extravagant. One day, I don't have clothes I wear one day and throw in the fire. I mean, but God's like, don't worry about it. I've got it. I mean, I think about the children of Israel marching around for 40 years in the wilderness. Their sandals didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't want. They didn't get a change of clothes either, but that's another story. But they stayed in good shape. He says, you have little faith, therefore do not, he's telling them again, do not worry or be anxious, perpetually uneasy, distracted, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Where are we going to wear? For the pagan Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, but do not worry, for your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He knows. He desires to give us all these things that the pagans, the Gentiles, the world are seeking after. We just read verse 33. He says, all these things will be given to you also. So not only do we get all the kingdom things, we get the joy, the peace, the good blessings, all those things in Deuteronomy 28 that he talks about. He says, that are all conditional. There's a big if at the beginning of that, saying, if you will obey me, if you'll do these things that I'm telling you. And he's telling us here, if you'll put my kingdom first, if you'll put my righteousness first, you don't have to worry about. Our job is just the seeking him. That's what we should be concerned about. Are we seeking him? Because he's promised that he will take care of it. So what are more importantly, who is the catalyst that will change us? My science teacher friend says a catalyst is what? It's the spark. It's the spark. That's right. It's that chemical change that spurs us on. So we can trust. We can't trust in our self-will. 92% again fails. They're trusting in their self-will. The world doesn't have a good strategy. It's all about me. How can I accomplish this? You know, they are lacking the catalyst. True, lasting, godly change is something we must rely on Holy Spirit for. He is the catalyst that will produce godly change in our attitudes, our character, and our habits. Holy Spirit is the anointing we need to break the yokes and chains that keep us bound in unproductive mindsets and dead religion. He provides the excitement and the motivation that we need to meet our God-given assignments. Holy Spirit is with us. Jesus said in John 16:7, but I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, the standby, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, Holy Spirit, to you, to be in close fellowship with you. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Is Jesus a liar, anybody? Anybody want to call Jesus out? I see a little Ananias and Sapphira here. Sapphira fall. Don't call Jesus a liar. He's not a liar. He said, I tell you the truth. So we want all the personhood of the Holy Spirit, of His help. We need His help. It's like Shelley was saying at the beginning during praise and worship. It's 7 o'clock. I still need you, Jesus. I still need you. I still do. 24/7, 365. We need you. So when we set goals, we got to remember He is the catalyst. He's the one that's going to make it happen. He's the one that's going to make it happen by His grace. Jesus also said in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. Otherwise, apart from me, that is cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. Pretty plain. Pretty plain. I'm a very literal person. I'm a very black and white person. If He says I have to remain in him, I take him at his word. He remains by His Spirit so we can bear fruit, bear holy fruit, the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit, the result of His presence within us, I love the Amplified Bible, says is love, unselfish concern for others, joy, inner peace, patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Not self-will, but self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Jesus wants us to be fruitful. His goals must be our goals. They are so lofty. The things He wants us to achieve will bring Him glory. What is Holy Spirit speaking to your heart? You might say to me, Jess, I don't believe you. This won't help me. You don't understand. My husband's a mess. My children can't take it. You know, my finances or my health, these issues, they just keep coming up. I'm lonely. My failures, my guilt, my shame. You know, the caregivers, I've just been inundated with emails from caregivers. It's such a weighty thing. People are living longer and needing to be taken care of for a very long time. So, and I get it. But I tell you, He said, I tell you the truth. And that's where I got to point you and me back, is to the truth, to the word. What did He say? What did He say about it? So you don't have to believe me. You can believe Him. Holy Spirit will change you and your circumstances. He did it in me. I told y'all about it. I can tell you more if you want to hear details. I don't mind giving God lots of glory. He is faithful. He can be trusted. He knows and cares about everything you care about. Everything you care about. Everything you care about. The things that keep you up at night. He cares. He's there. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come to me, you who are weary, heavily burdened by religious rituals that provide no peace, and I will give you rest, refreshing your souls with salvation. So I encourage you to, yes, to pray, to seek goals. Set them high. Set them high, higher than you can reach without Him. Make yourself desperate for Him. Dream your dreams. Make resolutions. Invite Holy Spirit to be the catalyst you need to secure your success. So be bold and ask big questions, and keep asking. You know, Pastor Gilbert's talked several times recently about the persistent widow. And we don't have to be a widow to be persistent. we can be a woman, right? We can be persistent. So be that persistent woman, that persistent godly woman who says, God, you said I could have this. You said I could be healed. You said my prodigals will come back. So He's whispering again now, like in John 10:10. Come to me. I'm a crybaby. I love you. Jesus loves you.
He loves us. He's saying, come, come. The book of Revelation is full of the word come. And hear what the Spirit is saying. He wants to give you the abundant life. He said it could be yours. That John 10:10 part B, focus on that, ladies. Focus on the part B. The enemy's a liar. We got this. We got this. Jesus said, you got this, ladies. You got this, beloved, beautiful women of God. You've got this. And Jesus loves you. Amen.